Number 54, Blink 182, Don't Owe Us Nothing.
Hey guys, you're about to listen to a great episode of Drag the Lake, but we do need to inform you. There were slight technical difficulties. What happened? We have no fucking idea. Did some of us get a little bit too spicy? No, not at all. No one would absolutely know. No, no one would say that about anyone in here. What? I'm just fucking flexing. This fucking dickhead, this fucking piece of shit.
But no, I'm sorry, clearing my throat. Andy.
And he's a stupid fucking piece of shit cunt. No, but for real though, we were having technical, hopefully it doesn't go out on your end, but I think it was, we had some like technical difficulties where audio was getting a little echoey towards the end. Don't know what happened, but it doesn't seem like it's a permanent thing on this StreamYard. So yeah, that's a thing that happened on this, and hopefully it's not too fucking annoying. But it doesn't happen most of the time, so I think you're going to have an overall wonderful experience with this episode. And we cut it short because I wanted clean audio to talk about furries getting attacked at shows and shit. So there will be a bonus. There will be a bonus episode coming out later this week where we talk about when furries get attacked. So coming soon when furries get attacked by overzealous. Overzealous crowd killers. What'd you say?
I said, but we love you. And also it's not only do I'm excited to cover the video itself, the actual clip, but in the meantime of us, and I'm glad that there's been a little bit of hesitation, but there's actually been, I believe there's been updates on the clip. So that's something to look forward to. So check that out. We're going to be going live with no issues later on.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of talk and it's going to be good. All right. See you then. Be about a piece. Enjoy this episode. I love you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. I am one of your hosts, Andy Malafrina. With me, as always, the late great Pat, the Grateful Dead, George Pat. How the hell are you, you fucking degenerate drug addict? Were you about to say I live vicariously through you? No, I don't stay up at night wondering, would you like being a piece of shit drug addict? Anyway, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. I'm so happy to fucking be here. Yeah, that's right, dude. I'm gonna hit you with the fucking dare energy out of the goddamn gate.
So Andy McGriff, it's a pleasure to see you.
Andy McGriff, the crime fighting,
crime sniffing dickhead.
The crime Clifford.
I wanna take this. I appreciate the great warm welcome and the judgment right off the bat. But I do want to apologize to all the dragons out there that we're a little bit late with today's live stream because
I would never cause the episode to be late. Pat is the one that always causes episodes.
It's 100% my fault, and it's because I took the wife leaf peeping. That's right. What? Me and the wife woke up this morning. I made sweet love to her. And then we got into her Subaru and we went driving for a couple hours through the mountains to look at leaves. And boy, was it magical. We got some great pictures.
You guys wake up and look at each other. You're like, we haven't been that white lately. Do you want to be-
I was like, what's the fucking whitest thing we could do? Just drive to the top of a mountain cuz.
And then in the middle of looking at leaves, we saw black people having a good time. So we were like, officer, officer, they're having some loud fun. Officer, 5 feet
from us. And they're like, we're on our way.
Those are always my favorite interactions where you realize you're like, we just need to come together and understand each other. It's always whenever you see those videos where it'll be like a racial conflict, it's always like white people who are too locked in on the rules, and it'll be black people who are kind of like, come on, you know, and then that's just you put those two people in a fucking park together. We're going to have some problems.
I'm telling you, dude, it's like I've had the probably one of the whitest weekends, but one of the greatest weekends of my life. I watched a UFC. I did a nice fucking solid half hour at a fucking winery in front of a bunch of white people, and they loved it.
UFC, I think UFC is for everyone because you get a little bit of everything in there. UFC is for everyone. Ooh, can I ask you a super quick UFC question let's try not to get too far along down this road, but I am. What was the stoppage for where the guy and then
for
he like
one?
I think it was the second one. They stopped a fight. And
Johnny Walker? the light heavyweight.
Yeah, Johnny Walker, and then he like pushed the ref and stuff. Why did they stop? Oh. Now, what's the official reason they stopped the fight?
So the official reason is because he was not able to adequately answer the questions of the doctor to make him feel like he wasn't showing signs of a concussion. If you get concussed because of a foul, the fight has to be ruled.
Yo, I'm sorry. I have to stop. I dropped so much coffee. Oh my God. Okay. We have to actually start over.
All right, guys. We'll be back. Sorry.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. I am your host, still Andy Malafrina. With me, as always, still is the late, great Pat George, Pat the Grateful Dead George. I had a bit of an... I don't know what the fuck happened.
Andy, I think what happened was you created our clip for this week.
Yeah, did I? Yeah, I don't... Dude, I need to learn my. You know what my problem is.
Andy, right here, that's the potion right there. Look at that. Go ahead and spill. Oh man, is that what you spilled?
No, it was. Oh. Watch, I'm gonna grab it and spill it again.
Guys, I'll be back again.
Oh God, we gotta pause it one more time. No, I you'd think I'd learn my fucking lesson because I've had there's like two or three times live on air. This was like the fourth time, but this one was like, I have to stop the whole pod.
It sounded bad, and I hope you definitely saved the recording because that is definitely our clip. Because that was perfect.
It's still.
I forgot what we were talking about. It was something about UFC, but I
UFC.
I was like, okay, focus on don't stutter too much. Don't sound like a dickhead. Give Andy a good answer because he wants to know, and you actually know this stuff, Pat. You can help. and then you're like, oh God, I gotta go.
Yeah, no, it's ironic too because I've been doing this angle because I like it better because I think it fills out the screen. But if I would have done this angle, you would have seen every bit of it. That's awesome. Whatever, dude. Yeah, you'd think I'd learn my fucking lesson. I do that constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, I just have these moments. I swear to God, it's like it's like Russian roulette or something like that. Every 100 times I grab the cup, 99 of them are going to be spot on. I'm going to nail it, dude. I'm going to hit the dismount. But it's that 100th time where it goes, this will be utter destruction.
Yeah. There's sometimes where, like, I just have no I can't rely on my muscle memory. I'm all butterfingers, all this bullshit. Like, and it's like it is literally, it's almost like I feel like maybe men's PMS or like their, you know what I mean, like how women, like my wife always says every time like she starts like dropping shit, she's like, oh, I'm gonna have my period's about to start, here comes my, and like in a day or two her period starts. Like she knows that, like if she's just like butterfingers one day, she's all clumps, she's all fucking thumbs. And it's like, I wonder,
I hate if that shit.
Maybe women, I'm a woman, women. Andy. Hold on, Andy. Can you just let me fucking unravel this? Okay.
No,
I just out myself.
I just called my wife out for this shit. Women do this thing where it's like they say some stuff where you're like, that's not accurate, but you can't prove them wrong. You know what I mean? That's why I feel like girls are in the ghost so much. It's like you can't really prove them wrong.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I feel like with Dom though. It's one of those things that, like, I think she is accurate with this one because it's not like she's like normally like juggling fucking knives and shit like successfully. It's the fact that she's not like for some reason, like a day or two before her fucking period, for real, everything she touches, she drops. Like it's fucking crazy. We had to get otter boxes because of it. And it's like it's a phenomenon that's like, it's a maybe her fucking hormones are telling her hands to be stupid or something. But you wanted to know something about the stoppage in UFC, is that right?
Or I don't know. I don't really care anymore. My desk smells like fucking dark roast. I don't fucking care. I hope that guy lost. but no, what was it? It was like he had like a he didn't pass concussion protocol.
So two funny stories here. The question the doctor asked was where are you fighting? I think he said where. I don't know if he said what country are you fighting or if he said where are you fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, and I guess Johnny Walker was like, he like didn't answer. And like so the ref asked like another question or something else, and or he asked that question again, and he was like, "I'm fighting in the desert." Like, so I guess the confusion now, this is where the controversy is. The doctor took that as him being disoriented and not knowing where he was, so they had to stop the fight and they couldn't continue, which is still very likely.
Okay.
But the confusion is Johnny Walker is Brazilian. I do not know the ethnicity of the doctor. I believe he was American, but I don't know for sure. But I think there was a language barrier, first of all. And second of all, I think the confusion is they were fighting in Abu Dhabi, which,
mm-hmm.
including your boy right here, until they pointed out in the broadcast, I thought Abu Dhabi was a country. But apparently it is part of the country of the United Arab Emirates. That's it. Sorry. So that's the country. So when somebody asks you, like, if they ask you what country are you fighting in, like, if he had answered Abu Dhabi, the doctor could have said, okay, that's a wrong answer. So, but like, well, that's a weird question to ask. Like, to say, like, do you know who you're fighting? Like something like that. I mean, like, can you name, like, there has to be some kind of protocol, I feel. So with that same doctor earlier in the night, I guess there was a controversy where...
Oh, yeah, because I heard Daniel Cormier was on the mic where he's like, he stopped one again.
Yeah, the fight, I guess there was a fight earlier in the prelims. I believe it was in the prelims that was, or maybe early prelims, where somebody got low-blowed, kicked in the balls.
And the balls.
So they're giving them the 5-minute timeout. And about halfway through, I guess the doctor was talking to him, and you can overhear them talking to each other. And the doctor's trying to tell the guy, you didn't get kicked in the balls. And the guy's like, that's funny because there seemed to be no language barrier because that doctor, the person who looks like Khabib or something like that. He's like one of those guys that has the chin beard and shit. He's like, no, I got kicked in the dick and balls.
It's one of the best rules ever.
So they were just they were complaining about that doctor in general. But in that case, there was confusion. Was Johnny Walker concussed? Because it was a pretty bad knee when he was down on his knee, which is not allowed. So he felt he didn't need to protect that. And he didn't because that was an illegal blow. So
you know what I know about Johnny Walker, though?
What?
You know, I watched the video and I noticed that Johnny Walker's black. And what's up, dude? Welcome to Drag the Lake. Here, dude.
Is that why you asked me that question?
No, not initially, but it ended up being why.
Yeah,
okay, that's interesting because it's so funny. You like, I swear to God, every UFC seems to run pretty well, and then every like 5 pay per views, I always see something where people are like, "Is this the dumbest man alive?" Like my favorite is when you have. A pretty it should be a unanimous decision. I saw what's the dude on commentary who's not Rogan or Cormier?
John Anik.
Yeah, John Anik had a funny one where I forget what the fight was, but it was one of those fights where it was like, okay, this guy definitely won every single round, and John Anik calls out this one judge, and he's like, "Yo, like." I'm not being biased right now. If you scored this second round as this guy winning, you should legitimately like have to re-review your qualifications on this because that's fucking insane. And like every 5 UFCs, there's just a thing that happens that everyone goes, "Who the fuck is that guy?"
Yeah, Dominic Cruz is another one that holds people accountable, especially the refs, because he has personally been slighted by the ref. He felt like he got stopped. The fight got stopped early when he was still defending himself intelligently, which is also, again, look, you can't argue someone's experience. If they're like Johnny Walker, maybe I think they said there was an update that he was getting sent to the doctor for like concussion protocols just to make sure to see if he had a concussion. Maybe it was correct. But in that moment, the doctor earlier in the night had watched a replay where I guess somebody had clearly got kicked in the fucking nuts and was reacting properly and was like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't get kicked in the nuts. And another guy that's like, hey, what's the square root of fucking seven? And it's like, wait, what? I don't even know that normally. Like, what do you mean, where am I fighting? That's a weird question. In the UFC? What do you mean? Like, because, like, what do you mean by that? Where am I fighting? Well, the UFC? Am I fighting in Abu Dhabi? Am I fighting in the United Arab Emirates?
And also, too, if I'm like in the middle of fighting someone, getting fucked up or whatever the fuck, and you're in Abu Dhabi, you know, the boys are wilding, it's getting right. loud, and it's getting loud as shit in there, and someone asked you if, like, there's a high propensity that you're gonna mess up the answer first go. So
yeah.
And then it's so funny in the clip after all that's happening, you see the guy jumping around and I'm like, he doesn't feel concussed.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, he's like, he says, where are you fighting? And he like starts looking around the ring like, what do you mean? Like right now?
Yeah, yeah.
In the Middle East.
Okay, so that's the Middle East. He's like, some fucking brown country. I don't fucking know. Johnny Walker's Italian-ish.
I would say
Johnny Walker's a 60-year-old Italian man. That was the impression I was doing. That's not how I talk, guys. But hey, man, the energy is top-notch in there. Starting off with strong comments. It's 12 and I'm trash. Going to be a short day, boys. Not if you do cocaine. But we're streaming live on YouTube, so I would never suggest anyone do cocaine. I just realized I don't want anyone to do sick-ass cocaine. But yeah, so welcome to a new episode of Drag the League. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, we got another case of crowd killing. The pit police have to investigate the attack of a furry. What else? I actually fucking prepped, dude. I wrote things down on a piece of paper.
Can I have a quick suggestion and maybe a quick shout out? The audio that accompanied most of the leaf peeping for my wife and I this afternoon or this early morning was, have you ever listened to Lola Young?
No.
Remember, you know that one I can't remember the fuck. Hold on. No. You had suggested, remember the it wasn't a hardcore song or anything like that. It was a popular song. And you're like, I don't know, man, this is super catchy. I really like it.
Oh yeah. That was like forever ago, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the fucking name of it, but like that came up and I was like, oh shit, I should tell Andy. I bet he would like this in that same way. It was, like, reminded me a lot of her, nice. Her song Conceited, but definitely like you can just hit shuffle on her songs and they're like, I feel like they're all like bangers, but it's not heavy music. So we don't have to like go too deep into it, but I would suggest to you personally, as well as the dragons out there that like all music, not just the heavier stuff, Lola Young. I don't know if I'm just catching on to her or if she's blowing up right now, but she fucking rules. Conceited is the song I would suggest, but definitely all of her music is pretty cool.
Hell yeah. Go check out Lola Young. But yeah, so we're definitely going to have to do some pit policing because there's definitely some furries getting fucked up. Also, I don't know if I sent you this thing about Tesseract's drummer is getting his cheeks clapped online, which is very interesting. Nice. And then also, I don't know if you listened to it, but I do want to talk for a couple minutes about the new Blink 182 album. So that's what we got on the docket today. But before we get into that, I got a big bad a special edition of Bye Early.
Oh.
And I still don't have a graphic of that. So no, I did actually want to give a shout out to I should have pulled this up. I apologize. I do want to give a shout out to this one band. There's actually a listener of the pod hit me up on Twitter. Excuse me. He hit me up on Twitter and he's in a band. He's in a band called Foxtrot. And I am multitasking. This is why this is bad. And you guys are all upset with me. No, but he's in a band called Foxtrot. And it was pretty dope. And he asked me to check out his song. So I recorded a reaction to that, which I actually also posted. So I posted a reaction to this song, Foxtrot, Danny Brown's new song. And then Wolf and Bear put a new song out. So definitely go check that out. This band was really interesting because they were I don't know how to actually explain it. It was like they had this like indie rock, but like also sort of punk influence, fast paced temperament. But they were also infused with Like I was saying this in the reaction, like, yo, this is just proof positive that if you're in these like punk indie rock influenced bands, don't romanticize not knowing how to play your fucking instruments. That's like right. That's one of the biggest misconceptions of fucking anything back in the day, where you'd have all these dudes who just wanted to fucking hop into a band and do the whole damn thing and just get all the glory and do all the intense shit, but they didn't want to actually do the work to learn how their instruments. And that's why when you see like older punk shit, the energy of it's fun, but if we really get down into it, there's certain of these old classic punk bands that if you like listen to the shit, you're like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. They were catching a dope ass wave, but like musically speaking, it's just fine. There's a lot of bands in pop punk that do the same thing. And I really enjoyed this band Foxtrot, because one, I'm very happy when I find out dudes and dope ass bands listen to the pod. But also on top of that, it's just like learn your goddamn instruments, because you can take a simple genre and expand it and make it a much more deeper experience. And I fucking appreciate, and I'm not just sucking these guys off because they listen to the pod and stuff like that. Like I was so fucking happy, because it wasn't just like they were, you know, they're throwing in intense noodling, dude, just the intense wiggity wiggities over an indie punkish type song. Yeah. Intense noodling. They had a deep understanding of song structure and how to sort of subvert that and create a broader spectrum of the musical experience. Not to sound like a pretentious cunt, but that is what was going on. It was just fun as hell. It was an absolute pleasure listening to that song. Go check out fucking Foxtrot.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out. I feel like there's something about I just realized that even there's the stigma, even the fact that even things that you used to love, like we're kind of discovering like all music from back in the day that we really liked, rediscovering music we used to listen to, as mm-hmm. well as new music by doing this podcast and just living as 30-year-olds in America. But mm-hmm. I realized something that on a recent podcast I was doing, the 6 AM podcast, is that like legitimately jiu-jitsu has taught me that I like legitimately you can still learn things even the older you get, like even stuff that like I used to play, like, so I'm thinking about even like what you were just saying, I loved playing bass, I've always wanted to learn drums, I've always loved playing drums, and I like kind of self-taught on almost everything until jiu-jitsu. Everything else I was self-taught, but I finally have somebody that like is a professional that I can actually access the knowledge and I can actually do that. Yeah. Then I was like, wait a minute, I can fucking do that with anything. What the fuck am I talking about? Like in the middle of recording that, I was like, I can actually take music lessons still. I can do that shit. I don't have to be some kind of fucking dumb asshole that is self-taught or is like one dimensional, just like you're talking about. I can actually take the love that I have, because I know if I put time or effort into that, I know I'm already interested in it. I know I already love it. So it's only going to reignite and re-inspire that passion. So I'm really excited. I'm actually looking into taking music lessons. So I'm not in a band. Not yet.
You should though, because it is like, why the fuck not? Also, I'm assuming you're not, you know, well, it's like you can fucking try anything out. Now, once you get to a certain age, the thing you're going to make your career and make money off of becomes limited and limited and limited. Yeah. it also becomes a thing of like, why the fuck not? Who cares? Yeah. How old are you? 40, 45? Learn how to make a fucking tiramisu. Who gives it? Like, I know we all do this. We wake up. We wake up, and the second our eyes open, you that thought hits you. You go, I've never been good at anything, and I'll never achieve any of my goals. That's how we start the day. So we have to go. That, right? We all do. We all do all that,
right? Everybody.
That's the second, and then you go. Oh no, my dopamine's out of whack. I better fucking open up Twitter and put the phone this far from my head. We all do that,
right?
So
about 3 or 4 hours in the morning, right?
Exactly. So the best thing to do right after that is we hop out, we go onto the living room, and we find one of those 15-minute videos with Joe Rogan and edit it in with videos of lions, and they put it over inspirational music, and we get pumped up, and we tell ourselves, you're like, I'm not a fucking pussy. And then you go about your day and figure it the fuck out. But one of those... In one of those like compilations, wherever it's like fucking Rogan or David Goggins or that Jocko Wilken guy yelling at you not to be a pussy. One of my favorite lines I heard from Rogan in one of those where he's just like, you know, I'm just, what the fuck? We're talking about learning a new thing. He's just like, I'm just so behind on. He's like, I just haven't started it yet. And he's like, well, just start it fucking now then. Yeah. Just like you can't go back in time. So. Who the fuck cares? Just fucking start it. So
right. Stop beating yourself up over not starting it and just start it. Like, what the fuck?
But in the context, I do want to hammer the point home. In the context, though, because I've heard so many. I was this guy back in the day. I remember saying this to someone in fucking college when I was like learning the guitar. You know, you say that thing where you go, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to listen to too much to get like, you know, to get too influenced by it. And it's like, stop. If you're listening to the right shit, you'll never be that good. That's why, like, when it came to stand-up comedy, why I always was like, oh, my favorites are Bill Burr and Patrice O'Neill. Because try as I might, I'm not going to be as good as Bill Burr or Patrice. But if I aim for that, I'll still be pretty damn good. You know what I mean? You know, and then
follow their judgment or their path. Not their path, but if you learn from their mistakes. I feel like you have that luxury. Like, you don't have to actually mimic them, but you can listen to what they say.
Well, not even learn. I mean, that's an element too, but it's also like just learn how they do it right, and then you'll never be as good as Patrice O'Neill. So just try to get close to that. Someone who's 50% as good as Patrice is 10 times better than the average comic. And I'm not trying to sound like a fucking Patrice simp, but I guess that's where we're at.
When I started to lose weight, when I was actually able to successfully start to lose weight and keep losing weight and shit like that, it started kind of with not necessarily direct advice, but in the sense of like a method. Bill Burr would say, like, yeah, you know, like you said, don't beat yourself up, but like, you know, try to eat healthier. Try to have one green leafy salad a day. Literally, that's how I started to eat healthier. Was like starting to be like, okay, well, at least focus on one meal a day. And then when you're like, well, I don't want to like eat like total shit on the other ones, because like, why would I just have that healthy meal for nothing if I'm gonna have two shitty meals? So then it influences your, and then you start building better habits, like legitimately on not personal advice but direct advice of one of those gentlemen you just mentioned. I started to better my personal life too. Like, so it's like, they're not giving you bad advice. Listen to what they're saying. You know, obviously some of it's some of the Patrice stuff, maybe, you know, take with a grain of salt.
I don't know, dude. I think you fucking nailed it.
Everything was 100%. Actually, they just played this Natalie Holloway thing on Jim and Sam. One of his bit on Natalie Holloway. And I was like, damn, it's still 100% true today. Unfortunately.
Wait, what?
The Natalie Holloway, there was an update.
I
about it.
Well, Patrice was funny because it's like, you like, some of his stuff came off sexist, but at the same time, you're like, you know what? If you are looking for a certain type of gal, that is how you need to be. So fair enough. But also, you can extrapolate the broader concepts of what he's getting at. Oh, but also so can I tell you another thing I realized this week is say you want to have sex with a guy that looks like us.
I do.
You do, right? I do as well.
Yeah.
Just all you got to do is just put on an Every Time I Die shirt and just walk out into the world. I felt like the belle of the ball because I was at Pet Shop. Nate Marshall, Alex Grubar, Alex Nicholas's show in Jersey City every first and third Thursday. I was out there. I had the Every Time I Die hoodie. There was actually some old man that didn't know what Every Time I Die was, but the hoodie on the back said Let Chaos Reign or something like that. And he was just like, I just love that so much. Can I take a picture of it? So he takes a picture of my fucking hoodie. So I'm just imagining there's just an old man laying in bed being like, wow, what a great hoodie that guy had.
Absolutely. Chaos rules. I love chaos. I really love chaos. Hey, Sharon, I told you how much I love chaos, right? Look at this hoodie I saw. No, I don't want one. This is cool enough.
My background. It's my background. Yeah. Also, it's on the back of his. It's on the back of his hoodie. So I'm gonna put it on the front of my. I'm gonna put it on the front of my phone so I can see it way more. I'm gonna see it way more than he can.
I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna appreciate it a lot more than he is. I mean, because honestly, I can't read it if it's on the back, right? I mean,
but no. Pet shop in Jersey City. They put on a lot of. They put on a lot of bands and stuff while doing the comedy shows and shit. And there was actually like a hardcore band playing. And as I'm walking into Pet Shop, this dude stops me. And I think I didn't see what it was. I was like, what the fuck's this guy bothering me about? He's like, hey, can I talk? He's like, can I stop you? He's like, can I give you something real quick? I was like, what? He's like, yeah. And he was like, no, I saw your hoodie. And I just think you'll really like our band. And the dude hooks me up with a fucking sticker, which That's some good stuff. Kid with a gun, Grave Heist.
Cool, so, man. Like
yeah, and I checked them out, and they're a pretty top-notch hardcore band out of Jersey. I don't know if they're from Jersey City. That's just where I met the dude. But go. And then we had just a lovely time talking about every time. It's the quickest way to bond with a bearded dude is to just bring up every time I die. And, he was it was funny. He was telling me that he was like he was really enjoying Many Eyes. He was like, I'm really happy they dropped merch. I just snatched that up because they're like my favorite band. I just love all their music and stuff.
Shut up. I'm paying attention, you fucking dickhead. I don't know how many Grave Heists there are, but I'm following them now. So
I think there's one Grave Heist, but yeah, no, it was just cool talking to that guy, and I checked out his band, and they ended up being pretty fucking sick. So I like supporting Jersey boys because Jersey makes some good. I feel like Jersey makes some good hardcore music, and they're a little underappreciated, in my opinion. So go
New York,
check out
Jersey in general. The Northeast in general is a very angry area. It's a really wonderful place.
There's something about, well, it's like, yeah, the Northeast lends itself to a lot of blue collar behavior. And there's something about being in that area where it's cold a lot of times and,
yeah,
you know, shit like that. There's something about that that lends itself to some quality hardcore music and hardcore specifically, because like we were talking about this, like being in super rural areas, I think lends itself to really good metal and shit like that. We were kind of talking about Slipknot or Knocked Loose. Yeah. Although Knocked Loose is hardcore, but they lean more metal than a band like I was talking about, like this Grave Heist band. But I think it's how, you know, something about how, like, especially in the winter, there's areas in the Northeast that just can be rough and suck. Yeah. And then the people are endearing, but they're a lot. But then there's also still a good amount of fun stuff to do. So that mixture, I think, makes quality hardcore music.
There's like a good bar, and there's like two or cool, like there's a couple cool, really cool venues. Like you have a good scene. You know what I'm saying? Like it's basically where it's not like maybe it's not the whole thing. It's like a small fish in a big pond kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Whereas like Iowa is like a fish in a field.
In a
field, like going like,
in a, and there's like a couple cups.
Somebody pouring water on you. Hey, are you all right? Hey, I like. Hey, cool shirt. Cool shirt. Hey, cool shirt. Cool shirt.
You're a saltwater fish. You're a saltwater fish, but they put table salt in there, so you're like technically alive, but you're still kind of fucking feeling weird.
That's not good. That's not good.
You're like good intention, but this is still gonna kill me.
Hey, Derek! Hey, look at that. Derek woke up before noon. Check it out.
Good on you, Derek.
Welcome. Woo! Hell yeah!
Woo! And then my last excursion into Jersey hardcore, dude. We've talked about this before, but whoever the fuck is booking the second intermission at Devil's games?
Oh man, here we go. Another one. Or the same
one. Yeah, they got another one. Well, we've talked about this band before. We talked about them on a buy early before. Uh-huh. They're another band that was actually at Pet Shop. I guess Pet Shop must be the place for hardcore in Jersey now. But yeah, dude, I forget what the other band was. The other band was more of a deathcore band. This is the band Jawdust we were talking about before. But yeah, dude.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but the fucking, yeah. So I just got to give, I got to give a shout out to whoever the fuck is booking the intermissions at Devils games. Cause they're throwing hardcore bands in there. And I was talking to Alex Nicholas about this, cause Alex Nicholas, very funny Jersey comic. He's been on Panties a bunch of times before. You guys are probably aware of him. What?
Isn't it his podcast?
What do you? Oh yeah. He's actually he's the owner. He's the owner operator. He doesn't necessarily host it every week, but it's
been on it. Yes,
it's his podcast. Right, right. Yeah. My fault. We're under new management. I get confused sometimes.
It's, okay. It's still new. Like you said.
I'm used to saying the old thing. I HR is gonna be down my goddamn.
It's like when a friend transitions. Sometimes you forget. You're like, sorry. Ooh.
And they go, you're like,
don't worry about it.
You're like, ooh, I'm sorry, your name's not Fat. No.
Oh, fat piece of shit ass. Oh no, sorry.
Different F word, Pat. You didn't pick up the joke. No, Alex was, because Alex is actually friends with Jawdust, and he made a point that I was like, yeah, that's actually probably super accurate, where he's like, this is probably perfect booking because you know hockey fans are going to get, you know, most hockey fans, there's probably like a Venn diagram where it's like hockey and hardcore music and shit like that. So, and it's not just like two dickheads pushing each other. It's like the boys showed up, but they're also in their Devils jerseys. And so it's like, we're also here for the game, dude.
Very sweaty moshing, but also I'm going to cool off by watching a game and have a couple brewskis. Maybe because honestly what it is, this is, I think, not only great booking, but also they may be fans. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the band themselves may just be like, well, we would like to go to a free game each season. So if you, it's like how
we want to go to the Devils game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's same thing. Devil Rays in Tampa. Well, they used to be the Devil Rays, but I saw Weezer there after a Devil Rays game, and I'm like, wow, I guess Weezer just wanted to check out a fucking Devil Rays game and then play a show, get a little bit, you know, cover their trip and then head out.
Well, you know, it's actually smart as hell. I've heard comics do it a bunch of times where they will, like, some comics will do shows when they go on vacation, or if they want to go, or if they're going to a special event, if they're going to like an event, like say they hit up a UFC in Vegas or something, they'll be like, fuck it, I'll do a show on Friday night. That'll pay for the fucking trip, which that's why I love this country.
Yeah. It's so awesome. And also I got a great merch idea for Jawdust, and this is free, and we can tag them in this if you want, because I would buy this shirt. I'm already thinking about buying a Jawdust shirt just in general for their support of hockey and hardcore. But if they had something similar to crossover with, Gold Dust from the old WWF days. You know what I'm talking about? Jawdust. Something like that. I don't know how they could make that a shirt. Or
that would be a sick. That would be a sick shirt. I know WWE would definitely be up their ass because they are litigious. But
could they do? But how could they? Like, could they just have somebody in a leotard, like a lookalike, or would they have to do like a mashup? How could they do or in the font?
I don't know the legal specifics, but I just know WWE's pretty litigious. But I will say this, whatever gets you closer to that, because I think this is an amazing idea.
I would buy two of them.
Two of them. Wow. Normally you just buy one t-shirt, but that's crazy. You'd buy two.
One for display and one for display. You know what I'm saying? The real display. Cover this piece of art with that piece of art. Put it on there, and the people go, like, "Nice shirt." And I go, "I know.
I don't know what you just said."
I was trying to act confident with my looks and say that I look good, and that it would also look good on me, but it would also look good on the wall.
You're saying your face is the display.
Yeah.
You're saying you're handsome.
It's a work of art, as well as a shirt. Maybe Jawdust in the Gold Dust font, like big cursive shit. You know what I'm saying? Or like a
can I say this, Pat?
Reels. You could have the reels.
Can I say this?
What's up? Go ahead.
I think you're handsome.
I don't think you do. Not from what you just said. I think you're just trying to cover up and you're trying not to get taken down for bullying.
I think YouTube. He had
YouTube. He's bullying.
You think I bully? You what? Is that because you're a fucking homo? You think I bully?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was just saying.
No, you're just a stupid bitch. I don't bully people. You're just a bitch.
I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that. Wait.
Anytime. I think you're handsome. Anyway.
Go listen to Jawbone. How many people get on that, please?
Jawdust, call us up and give us those. And then just give us can we have some money, Jawdust?
Have to.
Actually, since we're on the topic of merch, I should, because I have been, you know, I got duped and I sent the wrong people money. So I do want to let people know. End it. They did release the actual shirt this time.
Tag you on this one to say, okay, Andy, here it is.
It was funny. I did, when they posted this, I did retweet it and I wrote, I'll have to buy the actual shirt this time. And then I saw End It like that, which I was like, hell yeah, they have a sense of humor about this. Thank Christ. But no, they posted this. I copped it. And I also copped two shirts. Like I said, I promised I would. I made it right. I made everything right with End It. I ended it with the bad karma.
Right. You ended it. That's in reference to karma being bad. Also,
oh no, dude, you hopped in and thought you could make it better. It's just a bad joke for either of us.
I'm gonna weave it out. I thought I was gonna weave out. Hey, Andy, well, you have two parachutes?
I don't even have one.
I would buy that shirt, but I don't get the reference. I don't know what the actual. I know. I'm not a fan of the original thing that it's referencing. But
you don't get the reference?
I have a great merch idea. No, I don't like. I don't like that.
No. I'll explain it, Pat. It's Sailor Moon with fat. Can I explain it to you? It's Sailor Moon with fat titties, wearing Tim's, holding a handgun.
Right. Yeah.
What part don't you get?
No. I get it. I'm not a fan of Sailor Moon. I love titties, sure, but I mean that's really. It's really just a small percentage of the shirt. So, but I have a great idea for merch for End It. Something to do with gold dust. This is when you find out Pat has a really one track mind idea.
Just every you're like, oh no, it had nothing to do with them being jaw dust.
Guys, Pat, ever heard just of Dust Road?
Pat just wants a gold dust shirt. He's like, all right, between the Baron and me, what if it was between gold dust and me?
And you gave me two shirts.
Actually,
cool and everything, but what about gold dust?
Actually, you, it's so funny you're bringing up wrestling in context of like band shirts and stuff, because I wasn't going to bring this up, but then you kept saying Goldust. And I saw this. You're aware of AEW, correct?
Yes, I am.
Do you know who Danhausen is?
I do. He's a cool dude that has a cool face paint. Kind of looks like he's in Ghost or something.
So he's dropping.
Maybe not Ghost, this, Behemoth.
He's dropping this cool ass merch.
Oh, man, tell what, that was the Converge.
You come a little, dude. Your reaction was beautiful.
I like when things I like get legitimized by other things that are cool that I don't necessarily like, but other people I respect like.
Oh, I didn't realize what that was. That was you going, oh, validation.
Look at that. Me too, dude.
For the people listening who can't see the video, which shame on you, should be watching the video.
Yeah, those are come just like me.
Those have public views. We need those numbers high. So people don't
much place.
People don't fucking make fun of us for.
Thank you, by the way, for everybody that does comment and everything. It really like there was a. I think you responded from the Drag the Lake page recently to a comment of like really actually on the thing, the Deftones video, the guy. It was the reaction video we did to crosses. That was it. The crosses video, which you guys should check out again if you haven't already. What the fuck are you doing? But it was somebody that was like, oh yeah, they fucking met at this time and they produced it. It was like, god damn, this is super insightful. I didn't know how to respond. I'm glad you did, because I was gonna be like, Yeah, that's good. That is good information.
Well, that's the thing. Most people, I think you and me, and we're not even that good at talking, but I think you and me are just better at talking. But I feel like everyone who watches us knows more than us. So I appreciate the comments exponentially, because it's like we'll ask these questions, but you and me are chock full of fucking blind confidence. So we'll just state things as fact, and then people fill in the blanks and go, actually, dumb.
Yeah.
For the people listening, I love ultra specific collab, like crossovers, just ultra specific crossovers. And when they both happen to be things I like, it's double fun. So for people who can't see, who are just listening to the audio, it's Danhausen, who is a wrestler who does, he does face paint kind of like the Norwegian death metal guys with the all white and then the black on the eyes and different patterns around the mouth and shit like that. And then they basically took the Jane Doe face from Converge, the like most famous Converge album, and they mashed the Danhausen face paint with the Jane Doe face, and they made it merch, and it's pretty fucking sick.
I would go to an AEW show, by the way, because I feel like I could afford a good ticket at AEW, and it would be a lot of fun. And I know it would be fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know any wrestling show would be really fun, but like as far as the professional or the bigger names or something like that, I think that would be cool, because I think I could afford a good thing. But I really do appreciate them in general, that happening, like them approve. They have cool merch. I love when wrestling has cool merch, but anything in general, when they love something as much as I do and they put that much effort into it, that's fucking cool as shit.
I wonder if that's actually AEW merch, though.
Oh, maybe it's not. You're right.
I wonder, because AEW, I guarantee you, well, I technically can't guarantee this, but I am pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that AEW doesn't have as strict deals as WWE. So if you wanted to make, like, if you wanted to do collab merch, it'd be a lot easier for you to do that. And then also because it's through Converge. Yeah, it's probably just a side. Oh, Tony Storm's so fucking hot. Sorry, I'm on. I'm horny. I'm on their website trying to like confirm merch and stuff like that. But either way, you know, it's like, even if it's not AEW official merch, the fact that, you know, I definitely prefer WWE than AEW. I'll keep it a fucking buck, but I do think it's cool. The AEW provides their wrestlers to do more interesting shit like that. You know, that could never happen in WWE, but
yeah,
it is happening in AEW. Oh, also, as I'm looking at this, I should point this out, dude. Fucking, they're trying to get the boys the same way they got fucking me with End It. You know, you have the post right here, and I was trying to see if there was like an official link, and boom, this is how they do it. Just a reminder, someone gets in,
ordering it from here.
They steal the design, and he goes, "I just ordered it from here." And then Dum Dums like me hop in there, and then they have a whole fucking website like this where you can buy it. And I will say there is a part of me, like, I've heard dudes talk about this before when they were trying to watch a show, and because of annoying streaming laws, you can't actually watch a certain show in like a certain area. And I feel a similar, and so they'll be like, "Well, I want to watch the show. You're not letting me watch it, so I'm gonna pirate it. I don't know what to fucking tell you." Yeah. And there's part of me that can sympathize that when it comes to merch, where it's like, "Well, you're in a hard position where you're like, I want it. You don't have it for me, and this guy has it for me." So I understand that urge. I understand that urge, but at the same time, when I ordered that End It shirt, it looked nice on the website, and then when it came, the fucking shirt was blurry.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. Also, it's the matter of like, why is that from Danhausen's official account, or either is it like his account, or is that somebody from Converge, or is that just like a person that designed the image or something like that?
I'd have to pull it back up. I closed it.
Okay,
sorry.
I wasn't sure, but, because what?
No, you go.
Oh no, I was. I was
oh,
just
here
saying,
it is.
I was just thinking, like, if it's on his official account, that he kind of has, doesn't he kind of have, or his social media person have a responsibility to take that down? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not, it's not from Danhausen's actual account. Like, he didn't post it originally. It was just
it wasn't from his, and it could have been a, it also could have just been like a custom shirt now that I'm looking at it.
Okay. Oh, it was like somebody made it for him and just gifted it to him.
Yeah.
Like it
wasn't for sale.
Well, then in that case, yeah, buy the bootleg.
Yeah, right.
You want one. if they're not offering it, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, if he said, like, coming soon or something like that, if it's just a gift and somebody stole that design and they're just like, fuck it, then yeah, take it. It's going to be blurry, though. It's going to be really shitty. I remember I tried to buy a shirt off of Instagram that looked like a little baby tiger was hanging out of the pocket of a shirt. And when I got it, it looked like trash, dude. It was like a patch that was sewn on. It was kind of hanging over the pocket a little bit. It looked like shit.
Mm.
So, like, just, you know what you're buying, but also it's not going to look, it's probably not going to look as good as that one on the, if it, especially if that one was custom made. And look for the link in the original post. If it says link in, you know, comments or some shit like that. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. That is, I guess cool. The moral.
That is a collab.
I guess the moral of the story is just give me what I want at all times.
What if Converge finds out and they're like, what the fuck? You stole my property?
Well, you know what was funny with Converge is they regularly, I saw a post about this a while ago because the girl, so the image of the girl that they used for the Jane Doe cover, they didn't actually do a photo shoot with her. They bought that picture off of a photographer's website. So, and I saw the girl like a year or so ago, I saw this get mini viral online. The girl was tweeting at like, Converge owes me money. They don't have the rights to my picture. And then Converge was like, we've gone through this so many times. We have the rights to the fucking picture. Because it was actually kind of interesting because a lot of those copyright laws, the specifics of it are like sometimes they're infuriating as shit, but sometimes they're interesting as fuck. And apparently because he was like, no, the picture, we bought the picture from this guy. And when you took that picture and he posted it on his website, you got paid for it. So, and then you agreed to these rights for the picture. So, and then on top of that, the way that they, let me, for anyone who doesn't know, let me pull up the album cover. For anyone, yeah, so the other part of it too, it's not just like it's a picture of this woman. It's not just a picture of this woman. It's like heavily edited. And they were saying too, basically under like copyright laws and stuff like that, you also wouldn't be able to sue us because it's so heavily edited. That it's not, no one goes to that and goes like, oh, that's fucking Stacy. What's up, yeah. Stacy? Yeah, you go, yeah. No, that's the fucking Converge cover.
Yeah. It looks like it could just be a stock picture in general anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like when, it looks cool, like it looks like it could have been an AI generated face. You know what I'm saying? Like, or an artistically drawn face. Like, it doesn't look necessarily like a photograph. So it's definitely, it's a weird thing to complain about too. And also, like, why would you aim for like Converge? That's kind of like, that's a dick move.
What do you mean?
It's not like it's I don't know how much money like she was expecting to get out of Converge. I don't know if they're like millionaires or anything. I'm not saying in a bad way or anything that they don't earn it or that they don't deserve it. I mean,
yeah. But
I don't know if they're like the Rolling Stones or some shit. It's not like I don't know if they have an estate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you trying to fucking get from Converge?
Well, they definitely have. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just suing them. You know what I mean? I mean, it's they clout. Definitely. What?
Maybe just clout.
No, she's probably just being a dumb bitch trying to get money. I don't, it's not, it's probably not.
For sure.
Yeah, no, for real though. She's probably just being a fucking dickhead, just trying to get fucking money because it's like when, I was reading about this forever ago, but they made the show. You remember the show Californication?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's going on?
I don't know. What the hell was that?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
I just heard somebody else in your headphones.
Yeah, no. Okay, it stopped. Something weird was happening.
Something playing or something?
No, I'm not doing anything different on my end. Something was happening earlier. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about StreamYard. It's been fucking doing some weird shit here and there. I tried recording some shit in StreamYard, and I got a bunch of comments being like, it's getting out of sync. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And I'm like, oh, I'm just recording it in StreamYard, and it's being a fucking dickhead. But it sounds like it stopped. So that's good.
I had that trouble with Streamlabs in the past.
You mean StreamYard?
I think StreamLab.
StreamLab.
I think it was a different one. Maybe it might have been StreamYard. I don't think so, though.
Are you talking about like the OBS program?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. That is called StreamLab. All right, it stopped. We're good.
We're back.
Oh, but I was talking about Californication. It was a show, and it was also a Red Hot Chili Peppers album. And from what I remember, I might get some of the details wrong, but from what I remember, it was like at the end of season one when the show got really popular, and then Red Hot Chili Peppers, that's when they decided to sue them. And then the government or whatever was like, that's not how copyright works. Because what a lot of people don't know about copyright is you can't just get someone for a copyright claim whenever. You have to kind of be on top of it based off when you become aware of it. So the fact that they waited, because I guess it's based off your, like, the prosecution of someone violating your copyright has something to do with, like, not to oversimplify, but it literally correlates to like how upset you are with, like, that's an element of it. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers got fucked because they were like, The court was like, you clearly waited till the show made a shit ton of money before you started giving a shit. The copyright's not based off if someone steals it and then makes a lot of money. It's the copyright's based off how quickly you come at the person violating your copyright. That's why a lot of people get on, to bring up wrestling again, a lot of people get on WWE's ass about that because they're so strict about their copyright and stuff. And it's like, no, you actually... You can lose your copyright if you don't actively protect it. So you have to actively protect it at all times. Yeah. And shit. Yeah. It's crazy. A lot of those copyright laws are fucking exhausting. And then you can like the patent laws, a lot of them just hold up creativity and innovation and stuff. Cause people are running into they were trying to do it with fucking podcasting. Because they were trying to come at people for podcasts because, like, whatever, 10, 20 years ago, some guy got the patent on recording audio and distributing to a lot of people or some goofy shit like that. And then he extrapolated when people started making podcasts. He extrapolated from, like, this is what I was talking about. And it's like, no, you just kind of, like, sat on that. You sat on that patent and then didn't really do a whole lot with it. And now you're waiting for people to do things that correlate with your patent and you're trying to come at them. There's a lot of goofy bullshit that happens with that shit.
Yeah. It's annoying. I remember that whole case was going on and all that shit. That was really frustrating and kind of concerning. I'm like, I can't number my podcasts. I can't have a serial pod. Like, it was something like weird, like legitimate or it was like a clerical thing or something like that. Like you can't categorize them a certain way or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was so frustrating that I was like, "What? How do you have the right to numbers?"
Yeah, it's
so
it's
weird.
It's fucking crazy. It's the same way. It's like back in the day when Trump was going, "Oh, I'm gonna copyright the phrase 'You're fired.'" And I was like, "What? Like, why are we even talking about this?" Yeah, like,
what are you talking
and
about?
Also, who the fuck are you? Like, those dickheads over there. Those dickheads over. Who the fuck are you? But no, for real, though, it's like those dickheads over there decided in a room that dickhead can own these words in this order. And now I'm minding my own business over here. And if I post that online, I owe dickhead number two some money. You're like, that's all pretend. That's all fucking pretend.
Is that why I've always been let go, not fired, is because they can't say that I'm fired. They can just say, sorry, we're gonna have to let you go.
That's probably more to just do with not wanting to pay you unemployment, because apparently, how does that work? Like, companies pay some of the unemployment.
Yeah, it's like a portion of it they're responsible for or something like that. I can't remember. Dom would be able to answer that a little bit better as a manager and she'll, or a former manager, to say like what she could actually, what they're like, what they're responsible for, because it's also like how they're let go, like if they're rehireable or not. I don't know if that matters or whatever it is, but like there's like a ton, and also that's been changing a lot lately anyway. So
okay,
I don't know. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, a lot of those laws get like, dude, that's the funniest part. When I love, there's this great subreddit called Anti-Work, because it's you get a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of people with like legitimate concerns, and then you get a little bit of people who are like my boss made me do my job. Let's cancel him. You're like, and then, but the funniest part is it'll be like, My boss asked me to do this, and then all these people hop in the comments, and they're like, "Actually, if you look at section 2 of paragraph 4 of the da-da, this is saying so. Make sure you do this, this, and that." And they know all the rules on how to fuck your boss over. It's all very fascinating to me.
I wish I knew that when I worked at my last job in Florida. I wish, because that really would have loved to fuck those guys over. Kind of did my own way, but you know, obviously we don't have to go on that with the statute of limitations.
Because when you commit a hard felony, statutes of limitations are still a thing, and I don't want to go to jail in Florida.
Anyway, Andy, something else is what we were talking about just now. I think it was something along the lines of the next thing you wanted to talk about, maybe some.
Then that's why you're a fucking professional, dude. That's why you're one of the biggest pros in this business, dude.
Not just because I eat a lot.
Did you listen to the new Blink album?
I have not listened to the whole album yet. I didn't know that that was released, my friend. When did that come out? Friday?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm not laughing at you. The way you talk is wonderful. I'm not making fun of you. It was like your inflection. We're like, I did not know that was released. You did, and, though. I texted you Saturday. You were aware it was released.
Okay, well, I didn't realize
you have no excuses.
Wait, you said Saturday?
No, I said Friday. I texted you Friday.
Look, you say Thursday. What'd you say? Andy, are you still there? I think it's sent with StreamYards. I think this is a StreamYard thing. What did you hear me say?
Every time you get called out, you're like, dude, StreamYards is malfunctioning.
I mean, fucking StreamYard. Hold on. Let me just check the mainframe real quick on it.
Let me just hack it.
I'm going to go into settings real quick. Just No, I haven't looked at it.
That's fine. I got to be perfectly honest. Brad, I'm going to hire a teenager to hack your fucking computer. I know your mic's working, you son of a bitch. Yeah, it's not a huge deal. I'm going to talk about it because it's culturally relevant, but I'm not even that excited to talk about it. It was just, I am curious to hear what you have to, what you, wait, why is your mic muted? Unmute your mic. Wait, you did muted you your it? Mic. Yeah, you muted it. Dude, we're a mess today. This is off the rails today. It's been over ever since I dropped that coffee. We're off the rails today.
I think the coffee got on my computer too.
Yeah. I am curious for you to like at least give it a once over and let me know what you think, because, and just to see if you kind of have, and I hate to influence your experience in any way, but I got into it and like there was that one song that was pretty good. That we did the video about, and there was a bunch of pretty good songs and stuff, but the whole thing, like the album as a whole, it just came off as like, it really bled through the fact that they're like, yo, Travis got in a plane crash, Mark got fucking cancer, we might not ever see each other again, so let's just do this band so we can hang out a couple times before we all fucking die, because we're all 57, which is 94 in pop punk years. because the biggest thing that stood out to me, my favorite part about Blink-182 is they're making a lot of these straightforward pop punk songs, and Travis Barker is being an absolute menace underneath those songs with his drum parts.
Yeah.
And I gotta be honest. not that much of a fucking menace on this album. Like, it just sounded like he's like, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna do the fucking job. And it's like, it's one of those things. If any band came out with this album, they would kill to have this album. It's like a pretty good pop punk album. they do their classic thing of they write the songs in a way where you forget that they're all old as shit. You know, they're writing songs about high school and young love and stuff, and you're like, you forget that their children aren't even that young. You know? Their kids aren't even the age of the kids in the songs they're singing. So which is always, you know, I'm not the first person to point this out, but that's always like the fun part of listening to a Blink-182 album, where you're like, man, this is such a good song about high school. And then you go Google how old they were, and you're like, they were 35 when they wrote this. What the fuck is going on?
That's
always the best experience. But yeah, it like just a quick general review of it for me was it was pretty good, but it was generally uninspired. Like Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, Enema of the State, blow this shit out of the water. Like if those were like if you put Take Off Your Pants and Jacket at like a 10, this is probably a 6.5. Like not bad, but you're just like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think really that I think they have probably the it may be like an energy thing. Like you said, they're like they're tired. They're older dudes. They've been through a lot. They've been through fucking like you said, life-altering events, life-threatening events, and now they're at a point where they're like, I can't just write just songs about, you know, you can't expect the same enthusiasm about the same subject matter. We can handle the subject matter, but we just can't sit here and be like, we can't be hyped about fucking singing about high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can sing about high school if you want. You know what I mean? Like, they're giving everybody what they want.
Yeah.
With the pop punk album, but it's from 57-year-olds.
all jokes aside, I think they're in their late 40s. It's just way funnier to. They're definitely not 57.
You said 50s, and I was like, yeah, that totally checks out. Like you said, they're 35 when we were probably liking them, and like in general, like we're old now. They're definitely old, and they've been fucking rocking this whole time. I'm not saying that this is it for them, but you're right. There's definitely this, they're probably crying at certain parts of the show. You know, there's probably like hugging or praying before and after the show. Like there's weird things that they're, and they're also at that elite level, which they were before too, where they can, you see a bunch of the, it might just be my timeline, but a bunch of those clips of Metallica on their latest tour with James. It looks like, dude, every clip I've seen is just James Hetfield smoking a cigar, like backstage, which is like in the snake pit thing in between them and the fans or whatever. And like he's down there, like, and he's got his own little booth. Like they each got their own little spot, and he's sitting there and he's just kind of like looking at the fans, just like taking it in, like shaking their hands, taking pictures. Like it looks like they look really grateful, even though it may not be the best experience or the best version of Metallica that you're seeing live. I don't know for sure. I'm not a huge fan or not, but it might be something like that where they're just like, let's just go out there and fucking rock this crap. Like, you know what I mean? Like they might like play the hits. Let's go play some fucking pop punk for these weirdos, sing about high school and the Warped Tour and all this shit. But now they're doing it from a nostalgic perspective. So I'm excited to listen to the record. I can't get hyped for me. I jumped off the Blink train a long time ago, but like that song that we played, the last single that they put out, really did kind of get me excited about like the direction this was going. But if it's like not as inspired, but it's also like, hey man, you're fucking tired. Travis, you know, he was hurting himself back then, pal. Okay. And he was all right. He's an athlete.
I gotta give it another listen. I'm definitely being a little critical. I think I put my expectations a little too high. And I might have gotten a little I'm not sitting here saying like I hit it with a deep dive listen, but I did a quick once over, and I that's kind of the general feeling I left with it is just it had a real sound of like, you know, what do you think they want? Like they put everything into consideration. They're like, Tom's finally back in the band. You know, we got these, you know, the world's on fire. How about yours? What song was that?
I almost said it. I was like, don't say it. Just let him finish his thought, Pat.
Let Andy bomb, not me.
I did it psychically somehow. I was just like, hey, Andy, say it.
Say not on yours. Say it. Fucking say it. You know you can't not say it.
But it's like the Foo Fighters now, dude. They're just going out there. They're going to be like, hey, let's have this person come out. Let's do a cover and let's have fun. Let's play a game and give a guitar away for a kid or Green Day or any of those guys. Like, they're just go out there and have a good time.
Don't
write any new stuff. Just
honestly, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. Every year, every 2 years, just go hard for like 4 months.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna be happy.
Every band can be Kiss. You don't have to put out new stuff. You can just go out and play the hits and for everybody, like every year, and we'll come out. We'll come out and watch you. We like you.
Because you could probably hit all the big areas over like a 3-4 month tour, right?
Right. When you want to make a little bit of money, plan a couple like a couple country tour or something like that, like rake it in for a couple months. Work hard, play the hits, like give us your all, and then just go rest for the rest of the time, and you'll fucking make billions of dollars.
Yeah, I just think I honestly, for me, I'd be fine if this was the last album because it kind of makes sense where they did. They did the self-titled, that was fucking great, and then they had an album or two with Tom after that. That both of those were, they weren't mind-blowing, but they were pretty good. Mm. And then Tom got out of the band, and they almost kind of had to show people, like, hey, we're not gonna blow your minds, but we just want to let you know we can still do this without Tom. And I gotta be honest, those two out, like, what was the fucking out? California, that was the first one with Matt how do you say his last name? Skiba, right?
Matt Skiba.
That first one with Matt Skiba was actually pretty damn good. I got to give him a lot of credit for that one. That one was a good time. And then the one after that was just, it was like that one before it, but just a little bit okayer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. It was just fine. And then I think with this one, there is a little energy of like, you know, we want to let you know we still got it to a degree. We're not just the greatest hits band anymore, but also at the same time, based off this album, for me personally, not to sound condescending, but for me personally, I'm like, you guys are good. Yeah. If you guys never did a new album ever again, I'd be completely fine. I don't think, and I say that to say, I don't think you guys owe us a new album.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you don't have to, like what we would like is if you're still healthy enough to play is like do the album tours. Like Offspring was doing or something like that, where they're like, hey, it's the 20th anniversary of Smash. It's the 30th anniversary of Smash. It's like whatever, Americana. We're going to play that from start to finish. We know you're going to get that from
the
start
40th
to finish.
Anniversary of Smash. We only do Smash. Hey, we're going to play Smash. I don't know why.
Hey, like, 75 years of remember Smash.
It was just so funny. You were like, are you only going to reference Smash?
I couldn't think of another album. I was like, extend the Ombre? Yeah.
Hey, it's the 20th anniversary of what the fuck are their other albums? Oh my God. It's so bad outside of Smash. Oh my God. If you take away Smash or Americana, who gives a shit?
Hey, Smash Mouth.
Hey, Smash Mouth did not lose.
They have a weird, there's a weird pattern that they can go down if they wanted to. If they say like, you know, 20th anniversary of Animus, 40th, whatever the fuck it is, a Dude Ranch and shit like that. Invite the old drummer back or have bands for that you toured with when you released that, like nostalgia shows. And that's the thing is like, dude, there's a huge fucking market. It's like you're not on cruise ships or anything. It's not you can still play fucking arenas and shit.
Can I say something on that?
Actually, Andy, don't. Let's just end it here. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
But it's going to be like the bootleg end it shirts like, end it.
Yeah. That was a bootleg ending. Here,
that was a that was the ending of the podcast you got off of a Chinese website. Ended. Yeah.
That was the blurry ending. I think we both blurred out at that.
That was blurry. So talking about doing the whatever year, the whatever year anniversary, Smash. I think that of Smash, of Smash, like yeah, every band. Yeah. Here's my idea. Whatever band you're in,
Adele does Smash. Let's just
does play Smash by The Offspring. But
guys, remember when Offspring went goth? Remember, or went fucking grunge? You remember that? Remember when Offspring went grunge, everybody?
Dude, Offspring have the most egregious heel turn ever, where they like were putting out some solid music and then they put out just some fucking, you know how there was a bunch of bands that their sound, I could only describe their sound as band at a school dance in a 90s teen film. Like, that was the sound. And then the Offspring just shifted to that. And dude, they turned into such bullshit that they literally had a music video where the shtick in it was, there was soda cans with the Offspring logo on it, and we were rocking so hard, the soda cans exploded. And I'm like, I'm done with you guys. You guys fucking suck.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it was like, it was the most, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
And, but wait, before I get too far away from this fucking point, I think part of, you know, there's a bunch of things going on with this sort of resurgence of all the shit we all used to listen to in high school. Like, we're all in our 30s. You know, we're able to spend money on these bands and stuff. And then the bands are also capitalizing on the, like, you know, we were making the joke, but like the 10-year anniversary, the 20-year anniversary, this and that. They're able to capitalize on that. And so they're able to feed off this nostalgia where it's like, hey, we're done trying to make the new big hit. We're completely happy going back, playing all the songs you fucking love. And then on top of that, like, I just saw this one tour, and I think more bands should fucking do this, where they do these tours where you're like, yo, could you imagine going to this back in the day? Fucking Green Day, Rancid, and Smashing Pumpkins are all going on tour together. And Green Day's still pretty big. I think Smashing Pumpkins are still pretty... Actually, yeah, Smashing Pumpkins can sell at a show. But separately, Rancid, maybe not as much. But separately, all those bands, I feel like all those bands could do pretty good. But together, they can fucking sell a big-ass arena. And I think if more bands... Because, you know, if more bands, especially on a lower level and stuff, where, you know, the type of bands where they're doing okay numbers at shows, but let's say they were doing their 10-year anniversary of Smash show, like, and they could really get people to come the fuck out for that. If, like, a bunch of bands like that started doing these, you know, three or four of those bands together on a tour, I think they could get away with filling up substantially bigger venues. Because think about it, like, I don't know. They're even one of my favorite bands, but if I saw like Newfound Glory was playing, I'd be like, okay, but, and I'm just going to rattle off what comes first to my head. But if I was like, oh, Newfound Glory, Senses Fail, Set Your Goals and shit like that, I'd be like, all right, that's a pretty good fuck. That's a fun fucking lineup I would have killed to go see back in the day. I think that would definitely be a way that these bands could capitalize on nostalgia and sell some fucking tickets.
Yeah. Also, there's a weird thing with like the crossover and fans too. I don't know. I don't know a ton of like Rancid or Green Day and Rancid. It feels like there's a lot of crossover there. Like a lot of the fans are already going to be at least familiar with some part of Rancid. Like for sure, they know Ruby Soho or, you know, and Out Come the Wolves, that album for sure. They know those songs
and nothing else.
Maybe, you know, in some cases, like sometimes like some Green Day fans, like if they're more mainstream Green Day fans or something like that, maybe like, but if like, I feel
I'm
like
just making a joke. I'm making a joke. Oh, most people don't know shit outside of An Outcome the Wolves.
I remember, hey, shout out to the old Spotify list episode. I remember I did five, I think it was five Rancid songs that aren't Ruby Soho.
That's great.
But there were, I think there's a little bit of potential of saying like, maybe fans of Smashing Pumpkins that would be like, I don't know how many times they'll be like, yeah, we'll see Smashing Pumpkins and sure, I'll check out Green Day if I'm there. And, you know, I've heard about Rancid. I'm talking about, oh, that's a lot of fun. I had a good time. You know, that happened to me, dude. Later on in life, I never gave Weezer a chance, but not until my 30s. And I was in Orlando. No, I was maybe late 20s. And I was like at Universal Studios and they're like, hey, there's a free concert series while you're here. And there was Weezer. And I'm like, you know what? I'll go fucking see Weezer for free. You know, I think I'll check it out. And like, it's on the way out. What? Who gives a shit?
You're,
you know?
You're a Universal. You got a lightning bolt on your head and you're holding a wand. You go, I'm busy, sir.
Yeah.
I have to go. I have to go find Butterbeer. Thank you very much.
Those guys are a little juvenile, if you ask me, but I guess I can check them out. Hold my cotton candy. But I was like sitting there. I was like, dude, I love every one of these songs. I think I'm a fucking Weezer fan. I became a Weezer fan late into their nostalgia era.
You guys were watching Weezer and you're listening and you turn to your wife and you're like, babe, these songs are like okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I like this one. Have you yeah, the sweater. You did something about like don't give him a sweater or something like that. Yeah, dude. Don't do that.
No, I was talking about later Weezer. You just hear later Weezer and you're like, yo, this shit's like a 7 at best. Let's go.
I don't
God damn it, StreamYard. Stop doing whatever the fuck you're doing, StreamYards. This is crazy.
Is it still messing up?
Yeah, it's still doing. I don't know if this is my fault. I don't know if it's.
Do you want me to leave?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're who muted me earlier.
I don't know. Okay. Let's go. All right. Let's bring this back with his comment. Rancid NoFX would be a dream show of mine, especially if they played each other's songs like they did on the Split album. That would be fun. Rancid NoFX would be a top-notch show, especially for you.
Can I tell you right now, Andy, I'm about to fucking pop off. He just reminded me of something. I'm about to fucking pop off right now. I am sick and goddamn tired of bands that have a lot of hype behind them. If they were to reunite, not reuniting. All the members of Operation Ivy are alive, willing, and able to perform live. And they are doing it at like weddings or fucking like little conference centers or some shit like that. And it's like two members of the band. It's like Tim Armstrong and the fucking and Jesse. Did you see that video? They did it again recently. Let me just start that finish this pop off. Okay, I got to pop off right now, Andy, and I just need to finish it because if I don't pop off right now, I'm going to piss my pants.
All right, fair enough. Go.
Another one that was brought up, Minor Threat, Fugazi, stuff like that. I don't even like those guys, but they are like, you are able to do it. Do it. What are you doing? If you don't want the money, if it's not about the money, you know you can make a ton of money and make a ton of your fans old and new happy. I would love to see NoFX and Operation Ivy. That would be the lineup that I would like to see. I love Rancid. Rancid's fine. It's a lot of fun. They good time. You do the Ruby Soho, and then and everybody cheers, and then you play the songs that you never play 13 Body. Your bodies, dead bodies everywhere. I'm getting sidetracked. Operation Ivy and NoFX would be the show that I would want to see because they are perfectly able to do it. And a lot of people really, really would love to see that. If NoFX is going out with a bang, that's what you do. The last leg of the tour, do it with Operation Ivy. Reformed, Max fucking, what's his face, Freeman on bass, Tim Armstrong on guitar, fucking Jesse, what's his face on vocals.
Yeah.
And you pick up a drum. Just get a drummer. Just get a fucking drummer and just get on. Sorry, I don't know his name, but just get a fucking drummer.
No, it's okay. I'll say this. You reminded me of a problem I have when people, wait, let me check something real quick. The problem I have, okay, it's something on your end. I don't know. Wait.
Oh, did you just mute me?
Yeah, because I was trying to check where that echo was coming from.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your headphones?
But no. What?
Is it your headphones maybe are loud?
What do you mean my headphones are loud?
Like maybe it's picking up on your...
No, there's some echo happening something somewhere where like my audio is getting picked. I don't know. Hello?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Is there still an echo?
Yeah, I'm still hearing that, but we'll power through it and then we can wrap it up in a minute. What?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Yo, this is clearly your fault. You need to knock it off. Oh, geez, that's fucking driving me. Here, wait, let me mute you real quick because that's driving me insane. The point I was going to make, sorry, this is awkward as shit. I apologize, guys. The point I was going to make is, one, people need to stop posting when two dudes who used to be in a fucking band together are randomly holding instruments. They need to stop going, oh my God, this reunion and blah, blah, blah. And then, I will say this, like with a lot of those bands, you don't always know the inner workings. And I can respect someone who's like, hey, I used to be in a band with that guy, but if I see his fucking face, I'll fucking kill him, which fair enough. But also in the same respect, there is a thing where it's like, okay, I get it. You're older. You don't want to go on a full ass tour, but like after watching that Descendants documentary, dude, just do festivals. There's like no excuse. There's no excuse that I don't a couple times a year at least see Operation Ivy on a fucking festival or whatever the fuck. Cause it's like, one, you know, and I'm not trying to be like an entitled fan or whatever the fuck. But also at the same time, it's like, I guess you don't owe people anything, but also it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, people want it. So just show up at fucking Riot Fest once a year, play the fucking album and get the fuck out of there. You know what I'm saying? So like, So I get not wanting to go on a whole ass fucking tour, but also at the same time, you know, you can do a little show here and there. It's not that fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's that crazy.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's easy fucking peasy, dude.
Is there still an echo?
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. I really want to talk about this furry thing, but this echo is a little bit crazy. It's okay. Shit happens. I got a little spicy earlier, but shit fucking happens. We'll figure it out because I do really – we might have to record something later this week because I do really want to put out a video of us talking about this furry incident because it's fucking bananas. But we're going to wrap it up here today, guys. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening. We love you all. Until next time, be about it. Peace.